Somebody gonna kiss it in a minute. I realized that I was breaking the law. Amen. And sure enough, because I was riding down the road, this fella called Georgia State Patrol was on the other side of traffic going the other way, and I guess he clocked me going the speed I was, turned around in the middle of the road, came and pulled me over. Amen. I immediately went into mode of, you know, get the hands on the steering wheel. Amen. When he got my license out, amen, was ready to encounter this patrolman. So he comes to my window, my wife with me, AJ, we're just sitting there. Everybody kind of, oh my goodness, you know, hadn't gotten a ticket in a while. Amen. He comes to the window and I give him my license. Amen. And I'm in very nice mode when the police pulled me over. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I didn't realize I was going that fast. But however, I gave him my license. He went on back to his car. Amen. And me and my wife were sitting there. She's like kind of looking at me, giving me the side eye, right? And he comes back and he hands me my license and says, I'm going to let you off today on a warning. Hands me my license back and say, Mr. Bard, be safe. Only way to see your son, drive carefully. Now, that was grace. See, because I understood what the law was. But because of grace, he allowed me another chance to do it right. Not that I should, even though he gave me grace, it would have not been ideal to spin off in a frenzy once he had gave me my license back and maintained the 88 to 90 mile per hour speed.
All right.
Somebody catching what grace is? Yes, grace is your opportunity to have a do-over.
Right.
Not so that you can continue to keep speeding and continue to keep breaking the law that you come back and pull on grace all the time. Paul told us, he said, we continue in sin that grace should abound. Should abound. We shouldn't abuse grace even though it's there and available for us. I thought I'd just throw that in for free. Is that all right? So here we are. We find that in the Old Testament, we have the parallels. We have parallels to Jesus and the Old Testament. The Old Testament foreshadows Jesus. It foreshadows his coming. It foreshadows his being born. It foreshadows him at this place where we are now, him being crucified and resurrected again. Are you with me? So we understand that. Now there are many places in the Old Testament that foreshadow the life and the death of Jesus Christ. But this particular story that we read this morning, it has some things in it that hopefully that we can observe and see that not only pertain to Jesus and his resurrection, but some things in our life. Say it in my life too. Yeah. So I want you to come with me just for a few minutes and let's share. Let's talk for a few minutes about this young man that we read about, that at the end of chapter 37, verse 23, 24, we come to find that his brothers have thrown him in a pit. So there's something that we must embark on here. We've got to get some understanding of why did his brothers put him or throw him in a pit. Okay. We realize this is Joseph. Joseph is the son of Jacob. Talk to me about it. How many know who Abraham was? The father Abraham had many sons. So we have Abraham, and then we have Isaac, and then we have Jacob. Now Joseph is the son of Jacob. Amen. Y'all following me? Now, see, there's something a little different about Joseph, because the Bible declares and tells us when you read the pericope preceding that, it tells you that Joseph was favored by his father. His father loved him more than the rest of them because he bared him in his old age. So he had a special thing, a special connection with Joseph. How many of y'all, I don't know, you don't raise your hand in here, that you know you got pretty, you got a few children, amen, but one of you kind of favor a little bit more than the other. you know, the one that comes and talk to you sometime, the one that, Mama, how you doing? Dad, how you, can I get some, ice over? Sometimes, now, I know you don't want to say it in here, you don't want to let that on to that, but sometimes because of their personality, sometimes we can favor one more, not saying that we love them any day, but we can favor them. Something that said favor ain't fair.
Favor ain't fair.
So here it is, this son Joseph. He is favored by his father. His father uses him in a sense, and I can relate to this. His father uses him in a sense to find out what his brothers are doing. He uses him occasionally to go spy on them, to see what they're up to, and to come back to him with the information. Anybody was like that in your family? See, you don't want to admit it. You were the snitch in the group. Yes, you were. Yes, I'm talking to you. That was you. Amen. Mom and daddy could rely on you to come back and tell everything. Mama, I saw him do it. And, I ain't the one to gossip, but this is who Joseph was to his father. So his father favored him. So one day he gave him a task. He said, listen, your brothers are out there with the sheep and everything, and they're doing, I need you to go and spy on, go check on them. And when you get through checking on them, I want you to come back and tell me exactly what's going on. What I neglected to tell you is that there was a strenuous relationship with Joseph and his brother. See, because there was a calling, there was an anointing on Joseph that was not prevalent on the rest of the siblings.
All right.
Are y'all with me still?
All right.
So here it is. Joseph, he understands that he goes to check on his brothers, amen, and his brothers see him coming. See, because Joseph had this ability to interpret dreams. He had an anointing on his life to tell that if you told Joseph what you were dreaming about, he could break your dream down. You know, I ain't talking about how we do it. You know, I dreamed a fish the other night. I'm talking about beyond that. He could detail your dreams and let you know what your dreams meant. And his brother, matter of fact, there was a dream one time. There was a dream that he dreamed that he went back and told his father. He told his father, say, I see you and mama and them and brothers. I see them. I see all of y'all bowing down before me. And then, wait a minute, that didn't bother anybody. What you mean to tell me? I'm paraphrasing. But I can see father said, what you mean to tell me? Me and your mama are going to have to bow down and your brothers going to have to bow down before you? But his father didn't. He kind of kept it to himself. He said, okay, I get it. But his brothers, however, had a problem. Mm-hmm. They saw him coming from afar off, and they begin to conspire. They begin to say, you know what, this here comes this dreamer. Here comes Joseph. He's getting ready. We know where he come from. We know daddy sent him. But here he comes. So they begin to conspire, and we find ourselves at the end of chapter 37, verses 20 through 24, that when he gets there, they take him. The Bible doesn't even say that he fought them. That's the problem with a lot of us, because how many know that in your life, I'm almost done, in your life, you're going to have some pit situations. This is where I want you to write down. In your life, you're going to have some pit issues, pit situations. And a lot of times, the less resistance you give, the quicker you'll come out of your pit. That's what somebody, y'all take that home with you. I gave that to you for free. The Bible does not let us, or let us see him fighting his brothers to go in that pit. So his brothers take hold of him, and they throw him down into this pit. The scripture details that this pit was a pit that was reserved for water. But at this time, there was no water in it. So it was specifically designed to house Joseph. It wasn't meant to kill it. It was just meant to house him for a season.
All right.
Oh, somebody getting this already.
All right.
Can I tell you that your pits or the pits in your life are the middle point or the middle ground between your past and your palace?
All right. That's good.
Somebody don't know what to shout about. And I know we frown up at our pit situations. We frown up at the things that we have to go through, the situations of the sins and leavings of life. We have issues and problems, but I'm here to tell somebody, that to encourage you, that even though you might be in a pit situation, that is not your end. That is not your destiny. It is simply a holding place or positioning for you to get what you need from God and to hold you for a minute to get you to the palace. Joseph didn't understand that at the time. And just like many of us, we don't understand at the time, why do I have to go through some of these things? Why do I have to suffer some of the things? I just come by to remind somebody, if you're in a pit situation right now, the best thing you can do is not complain about where you are. Not complain about where you are. Talk to me in here. God, why did you do this to me? Why did you put this on me? The best thing that you can do, that while you're in the pit, is to get yourself or to conjure up a praise while you're sitting in a pit. I'm here to tell somebody, the best thing to help get you out, the best thing to help get you do is not somebody necessarily coming along and snatching you out, but sometimes the best thing that you can do is learn how to praise God in the pit. Do I got any witnesses in here? Anybody ever been in a situation where it looked hopeless, where it looked bad, where it looked glim, that you didn't see your way out, but you said, listen, since I'm in here, I'm not going to complain about it. And I know I've had good days. I've been in times where it looked dim and gloom, but I refuse to complain. I'm going to fix my face and fix my mouth to give God glory. I don't care what situation I'm in. I realize something too, that the pit, if you is the place between your past and your palace. But also I realize something too about his brothers and about the enemy of his life. That the enemy, now write this down because I'm trying to give it to you quick, get you out here in about 5 or 10 minutes. But your enemy's intent is not necessarily to kill you.
All right.
Understand, when you go back and read the story, you come to find that there was a couple of brothers, and one was Benjamin and one was Judah, that on the behalf of Joseph said, listen, let's not kill him. Let's put him in this pit and see, Benjamin's, his idea was, okay, we're going to put him in this pit, but later on I'm going to come back and help get him out of it. But before he could come back and help get him out of it, the other brothers had sold him into slavery. In my study, I said, you know what? I don't believe that their intent was to kill him. I don't believe that's the enemy's intent in your life. Not to kill you, but to kill your dreams.
Right.
Oh, y'all ain't saying amen. Oh, yeah. To kill your purpose. To kill your drive. To make you so down and depressed that you don't feel like moving, that you don't feel like doing nothing. The enemy comes in to kill your momentum, but he realizes that there is destiny on your life, that God has something better for you than where you are right now. Touch your neighbor and say, I look much better in the future than I even look today. God has something that's special and designed for me that the enemy does not want me to get, but the devil is a liar. I decree and declare over this house today that whatever the Lord has for you, it's for you. Touch your neighbor and say 5%. Give these quick things right here. Are y'all writing these notes down? Amen. That's why I told you. I'm not necessarily, I ain't 3 points in the poem today. Amen. I'm going to give you some of these nuggets and we get out of here. Amen. Another thing that I noticed is one thing that Joseph has to stop doing, one thing that you're going to have to stop doing in your life, is you're going to have to stop telling your business.
Amen.
You can tell everybody your business.
That's right.
You can't tell everybody what's going on. You can't tell everybody the revelation that God has given. You can't tell everybody because everybody ain't for you.
Amen. All right.
Let me let you on this little secret. Sometimes the only way that the enemy knows what's going on in your life is because you don't open your mouth. We give the devil too much credit. Can I talk for a minute? We think that the devil is like God. He is not like God. He is not omnipresent. He does not know all things. He is not everywhere at the same time. The only way he knows how to derail you, the only way that he knows how to get you and mess you up is that you done open your mouth and told somebody what God spoke to you. That's why you got so many haters. This is what happened with Joseph. That's why his brothers hated him, because Joseph, he didn't have the understanding or the maturity that every time God gave him a dream or gave him a vision, sometimes I need to keep this to myself. But what he would do is he would go and tell his brothers, and every time he told his brothers like, this guy thinks he's better than us. See, people are misinterpret God's anointing for arrogance sometimes.
Yes.
It's not that you you think highly of it, but you just really, you're excited.
Amen. Yes.
About what God is doing in your life or potentially going to do, and you want to share it with everybody. But you can't share everything with everybody. I was talking to some preachers the other night and some things that we were saying that, and he said, some stuff, you know, God's been placing you as a pastor, as minister to do, and even in community, the development, dealing with things in your church, sometimes you shouldn't be telling everybody what you're getting ready to do.
Amen.
The truth of the matter, even in the preaching world, talk to me in here, I got about three of them in here. Even in the preaching world, sometimes the preachers get envious of each other. I don't know who he think he is. You know, come down here to Harlem and he trying to take over. He just doing too much. And then listen, I don't know if people say that about me. I can only imagine. But you can't tell your mood. Are y'all getting that? Y'all mind if I move on a little bit? So we understand that in this pit situation, that means you got to stop telling your business. Your pit is the place between your past
and your palace.
Y'all got that one?
Yeah.
Did y'all write down that while you're in the pit, you've got to learn how to praise Him?
Yeah.
Y'all wrote that down?
Yeah.
See, because I can tell you the testimony in my life. Mm-hmm. What got me through, it was because of praise that I survived.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Anybody here been sick before?
Yes.
Anybody ever had to have a hospital visit? Got some bad news from the doctor, prognosis. Yeah. Anybody in here like that?
All right.
I've been like that. But can I tell you what got me through it? Not necessarily my resolve or that I'm so mature or that I'm so much better. What got me to where I am right now is that I had a resolve to praise for no matter what the situation was. I'm trying to help somebody here because I feel in my spirit that there's somebody in this room that's in a pit situation right now, and you're on the verge of giving up. You're on the verge of throwing in the towel. You're saying, you know what? I keep going in the same circle. I keep going round and round in the same place. And so how do I get delivered? How do I get out of this situation? You need to learn how to praise God no matter where you find yourself. I'm really done. Because part of the blessing is that while you're in the pit, Deacon, that you've got this process of keeping your sanity. You've got to learn how to keep your mind. He tells us in the Word that He will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind. Talk to me, somebody in the Bible. Stay on Him. This is simply a pruning. This is simply an area in your life that God is trying to get the glory. Anybody here want God to get the glory out of your life? I want Him to get all the glory out of my life. I want Him to do whatever. See, because I understand. How many in here understand what olive oil is? Ever use olive oil? Some of y'all cook with olive oil?
Yes.
Have you ever thought about this? Why there's no such thing as olive juice? Why is it olive oil and not olive juice? See, because the process of getting olive oil is that in order to get oil out of the olive, the olive has to be crushed. You can't squeeze it. See, that's what some, y'all get a little squeeze, y'all get nervous. You can't pinch an olive. You have to crush an olive. Some of you right now, you're in your crushing season. Touch yourself and say, I got a crush on me. There's some stuff happening in my life. There's a crush happening on me. God's getting ready. He's trying to get the oil. And God don't want you to have juice. He don't want you to be pinched. He don't want you to be squeezed, because none of that is going to happen. You can't use olive juice. You need olive oil. But God wants to use you as oil. He can't use, can I tell you something, the difference between oil and juice? Juice expires, but oil don't. I almost ran home right there. Stop it every next you say, that's a secret I want to tell you. That if you ever notice that oil does not expire, but juice, you can put any kind of juice in your refrigerator, amen, and look back and come back a few weeks later, there's an expiration date, you don't have to throw that away. But it's something about oil. Not that you stop it and say, it's something about oil, honey. I know God is trying to get the oil out of my life. So I don't mind being crushed. I don't mind being squished. Mind being tested, because I know at the end of the day that even though I'm in the pit, the end of it is that I'm going on to be inside the palace.
Right. Right now.
Say 3%. I'm done. Come on, give God a hand, praise.
Amen.
But let me leave this with you. I gave you that example because you need to be able to see yourself in this. And even relate it to what Jesus did, because one day, on an old rugged cross, Jesus wasn't pinched. He wasn't squeezed. But he was crushed. He was crushed for you and me. And the result of his crushing was an anointing and an oil that flows on us. It's called the blood. The blood that saves, the blood that delivers, the blood that transforms. Anybody here want to be like Jesus?
Yes, sir.
I need you to lift your hands in the sanctuary, all of the sanctuary. If you don't mind being crushed, now wait a minute now. If you've got reserves, you've got some reservations about being crushed, but if you really want to be used by God, you're going to have to go through a crushing season. The kindness has to, there's a crush on me. I want to be crushed. I want to be used by God. I want that anointing on my life that makes singing easy, that makes preaching easy, that makes staying in this lane for Christ easy. It's the anointing that you must have. I'm not going to move today. I'm not going to tune up. Amen. But I'm going to ask you to stay. Amen. And as you're standing, can we give God a hand of praise? Come on, praise Him. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what season you are in your life. I don't know what's happening, but I do believe that whatever it is, that God is going to get the glory out of your life. I don't mind being crushed. I don't mind going. Because the results of what Christ went through, that blood saved the world. Aren't you glad about it? It delivered us. It saved us. Brought us out. So listen very simply today. If there be one in the house and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. Today is your day. You don't. I'm not asking you for membership.